ASMR never gets old.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to We're Still Trying.
ASMR.
The best podcast in the galaxy.
Hello.
Joe, are you having fun over there, Joe?
I really am, because you have headphones on to hear what my crisp voice sounds like through this microphone. But I don't, so I'm just whispering. So I'm sorry to you and to the listener for... It just never gets old. It's a hilarious joke that will never get old.
If you put a microphone in front of people, it's impossible for them not to do ASMR experience.
When did that happen? Like, when did ASMR become like the cultural thing that it is enough to where anybody that gets a mic is like tapping it and like whispering and like, yeah.
Welcome back to this ASMR. Does ASMR actually work for you? That's the real question.
What is it supposed to do? Relax you?
Well, it's supposed to relax you, and it's supposed to sort of make your head tingle.
It does.
As if someone put a battery in your brain. There's only one video on the entire internet, ASMR video, that works for me.
Really?
And none others work, so if I need ASMR, I'll turn on the one exact video.
I mean, I don't watch a lot of ASMR, but...
You're not an ASMR expert.
I definitely do get the tingles if I have headphones on. If you don't have headphones on, it's like...
No, because I accidentally had my phone in mono for a while, I think, and the ASMR did not work at all. It's like, it has to... For me, it has to be a left and right thing.
Oh.
And I only feel tingles on the right side of my body. So
that's so weird and specific.
Consult your doctor before ASMR is applied.
It's cold outside.
You better believe it's cold outside. In fact, one might even say it's been 0 degrees outside.
It has been.
Wait, Joe, what's your Wi-Fi password?
You got to bleep it out. I think it's all lowercase, no spaces.
Do I type the all lowercase, no spaces with...
No. Can you imagine?
That'd be wild.
A-L-L-L-O-W.
Okay, good. Show notes updated. Great.
Cool.
So yeah, it's been 0 degrees. Kind of funny to look at the weather widget on my phone and see literally zero, or in some cases, -2.
Yep.
And then I go in my car and click on the little button that shows the temperature, and it says 6.
It's awful. Yeah. It's like cold that like hurts, you know? It's like it's invasive. It wants to kill you. You know, aggressive cold.
See, I don't actually think it's that cold myself.
Really?
But I am just, for whatever reason, I'm just a heat generation machine.
Mm.
I don't understand what's happening, but all I do is generate heat and get too hot. So I actually kind of like it. But
like a turbine.
It works out for me. Yeah, exactly. I don't understand. Scientists cannot answer what's going on with me, but it's very, very hot to be me. So I haven't been minding. I mean, if you dress appropriately, it's completely fine. I went on a walk today. It was completely fine. You dress appropriately and it's good.
I need gloves. I don't have gloves right now and that's been killing me. But, I mean, when I dress with enough layers, like, you know, you got your long underwear on, you got your undershirt, you got your gloves, you got your hat, you got your other stuff. I don't know. I don't know. Coat, that's important.
I don't know what you call the tube thing that you use for your neck, but I put that on my neck and then put it over my head partially so the back of my head's covered. And
there
then
you go.
That's a lifesaver. That's like some $10 thing on Walmart my mom got me a long time ago.
Yep.
It's been great. It made it actually possible to ride my bike in this type of weather.
Because
time I wasn't dressed appropriately for it and it was like maybe 10 degrees or something and I was riding my bike and when you ride your bike, it gets cold and then it's like 3 degrees.
It's because the wind,
and the
wind
chill
wind,
really gets to you.
It's
and
awful.
I got to like Wells Library up the big hill. I was like, I wonder if I'm going to make it. I wonder if this will be the last the world has ever seen of Zachary. But I survived, and I'm here to tell the tale.
Well, okay, honestly, I wouldn't mind this weather if it was like December 20th. You know what I mean? Like when it was coming down snowing, super pretty from the inside. You know what I mean? From inside of a building. But it's not Christmas, you know? It's January, which January and February are like the dead months, you know? They're just everything is dead and awful and cold. Really discouraging, you know? I miss summertime.
Good news is by Thursday, or no, by Wednesday, it's going to get back up to 28, so.
Oh, a whole 28, wow.
Now, I can't really tell the difference between 28 and 0 very much.
I feel like once you get low enough,
once you get to 28, it's 10, 0, negative 2, it doesn't really seem that different. Like, yes, you dive exposure slightly quickly, but I can't tell if you go outside. All that happens is you know it's cold.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell the difference between like 90 and 100?
Probably not either, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think that's why people say you should use Celsius, because it's less precise, but maybe you don't need that level of precision. Anyway, enough talk of the weather.
Enough talk about the weather. It's lame.
So last time I was over at your apartment, which I'm here again, so it's just as lovely as ever, but you and Jack invited me to your couch and showed me a couple episodes of Bluey, which is some sort of kids show, apparently. But for some reason, all of the like adults watch the kid show, and
it's not weird. I promise.
It's like My Little Pony. No, it's not like My Little Pony.
It's not.
Definitely not. But I watched it, and it was interesting, certainly. There was this one episode where he talks to this like French kid, French dog, and they don't speak any languages. Or they don't speak each other's language, of course, but the friendship still works out. And then there was another episode where the kids climb up the dad's, like, mountain, and they try to get to the top of him.
Yeah.
There was, like, some Christmas episode where, like, there's this annoying little kid kind of thing. Oh, and it's, like, the puppies are really little and don't know how to speak. Anyway,
mm-hmm.
I guess what's going on with this show, and why is it so popular?
Did you watch any of the other episodes on your own?
No, not at all.
Okay. I think you should watch them. And here's, so I think the reason the show is popular, and I think, first of all, I think we're, from this point in time, we've missed the train. Like, this was apparently very popular, like, last summer, I think. I don't know. I didn't hear about it till late summer, maybe September. But the reason I think it's so popular is because it's like Pixar movies where it's for kids, but they put stuff in there that's really obviously not going to be picked up by a kid and not for a kid. Yeah, I could think of a million examples, but like it's stuff that you pick up as an adult, and it's just so sweet and like, The voice actors, actresses, I guess, are like adorable for the kids. Like they're just so sweet. And I don't know. It makes me want to be a dad, you know, more than ever. So I think it's sweet. It's nice. It's happy. It's fun. But also like, it's not like there are two distinct things about it that make it not like another, like not like typical TV today. And the first is that there's really no crazy animation. Like, obviously it's animated, but, you know, let's say like the episode that you were talking about, it's where the two girls make a game out of climbing up their mom and dad. Like their mom and dad have gone to sleep and it's like they climb the mountain. In a typical TV show, I think that the animators would cut to like a scene of them climbing a big mountain and there's a storm and then it cuts back, right? But it doesn't do that. It doesn't do that. It's just literally you just see them climbing their parents, and that doesn't like, it doesn't snap out of it and go to like some really intense, like obviously fictional, not real thing. It's just like, they're just playing like in real life, you know? So that's, I think, very distinct about it. And then also I'm not a parent, so, you know, I can't necessarily judge everything, but I do like the way that the parents in the show parent their kids is like awesome. Like they don't put up with stupid stuff. They don't like, but they're like so kind and they want to play with their kids and they teach their kids how to like make games out of stuff. And, you know, and they're, yeah, it's just so sweet. It's just really sweet. You should just watch it. It's good.
So we should actually probably explain what the show is.
Oh yeah. That's probably fair.
So it's this family of four dogs animated show on Disney Plus. And one of them is named Bluey, hence why the show is called Bluey. The other's name I have long since forgotten.
Come on. Bingo.
Oh, that's right. Bingo. Come on. B-I-N-G-O. B-I-N-G-O. Was her name-o? Because they're both daughters, right?
Yes.
And it's like, oh, Bluey, that's like a guy, right? No, it's a girl.
No, they're both, yeah.
They're both.
It is unclear. I thought that too when I first started watching. I thought Bluey was a boy, but they're both girls.
And then you've got the mom and the dad, and it's just all these British people doing British things.
They're Australian.
They're going to come after me.
Come on, man.
They're going to come after me.
They really, yeah, they're going to burn us down because you thought they were British.
Good show, animated show, wholesome entertainment, ostensibly for kids, but there's some, you know, it's probably, like VeggieTales, probably sophisticated enough for mm-hmm. some of the adults to enjoy as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, thank you for expanding my horizons. I don't think I'll be watching it again, but.
You're welcome.
For the right type of person, I guess.
Like, okay. Let me just give you another example. One of my favorite episodes, all right, season 3, I think. It's called Double Babysitter. I think you watched it with us, maybe. They essentially, like, the kids, the parents are going out for a date or something, and they have the dad's brother, their uncle, comes, and he's going to watch them for the evening. But they forgot to cancel the other babysitter, who is, like, a friend of their mom's. And so they both get there, and then it's like there's this obvious moment that they have where they look at each other, and they're, like, interested. And the kids... The two adults are like, oh, like, you know, I don't have to be here. Like, she can stay or he can stay, whatever. But the kids are like, no, you should stay. Like, both of you should stay. Like, that'll be more fun. And then, like, you watch them, like, take care of the kids all night as babysitters. But, like, they're obviously, like, developing an attraction. And, like, it's so sweet. It's so, like, and, like, yeah, there's a scene where like they're playing 20 questions and Bingo, who's younger, is like, just like out of the, like, she looks at her uncle and is like, why don't you have a wife? Like, and like, he's like, I don't know. Like, and then it goes to her and they're like, well, like, how many friends do you have? And she's like, three. And they're like, that's not many. Like, it's just sweet. Like, cause they're kids and they're, I don't know. It's just sweet. It's just really sweet. So I enjoy it. The episodes are like 8 minutes long. And yeah, I don't know. It's just wonderful. So that's my spiel about Bluey. And I think you should, you know, if you ever watch it again, let me know and we can talk more about it. But I think it's a good show.
You know what isn't a good show?
What's not a good show?
I would say the Christopher Nolan Oppenheimer special is not a good, very good show / movie.
Hang on. Oppenheimer?
Yeah.
Really? You didn't like Oppenheimer?
We were already talking about this, Joe, but we had to save it for the show.
We did have to save it for the show.
So, to be honest, I'm going to pull a Joe and say I didn't finish it.
Oh,
I'm
going to
judge
gosh.
It. But here's the thing. Said that now. I'm not a dumb person. I could not tell what was going on even a little bit. I was like, okay, I get it. He's building the bomb. He's building a village. He's going to bring in his scientist people and build the bomb. I was like, what? The entire rest of the time, I was like, what the heck is going on in this stupid movie? So many people, so many locations, so many costumes, so much. I'm not a dumb person, and it didn't explain what was happening. I was paying with full attention. I was not on my phone. I was not talking to other people. All of us were in the room. We're staring at it with our full attention, trying to figure out what was going on. And we had no clue. And it's like, at a certain point, Christopher Nolan, I get it. You've got your cute little shtick, right, Christopher Nolan? You've got your, oh, I'm going to make this mysterious and confusing movie, and it's just so confusing, and isn't that great? And that works out great for things like Interstellar and Inception and The Prestige. But then you just are confusing for the sake of confusing, and no one can ever follow what's going on, ever, no matter what, no matter how hard they try, including Tenet, and now you did it again, and I'm tired of you, Christopher Nolan. Go away.
Go
you,
away.
You have to make it, it's okay to make it a little confusing, but in like, oh, there's a twist, whatever, but you can't just make things that are just so confusing for no reason. This would have been a great movie if it was possible to understand what was going on. Joe, I've said my piece.
Okay, look, I'm not going to say it's like the best movie ever. I don't think it was the best movie ever. I don't even think it's his best, but I did like it. And I think it's very different from his other movies. You know, it's really a biopic. It's like, it's about this guy. And I do definitely, it was very confusing sometimes because it's like, what do I need to know, you know, and what's just here because it's historically accurate. You know, like what, yeah. And then the jumping in time, which by the way, spoilers, you know, for the movie. Yeah, spoilers for the movie, you know. Essentially, yeah, like the jumping in the time and the going to the courtroom and then like Robert Downey Jr.'s character and, that's the other one. The smaller group of people that are asking him questions. So like he's like, it's almost like, The Social Network. Have you seen that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's like that, and where like you're learning the story as you're hearing it talked about in the future, but it's been talked about in the past tense, and then you're like seeing it happen.
Yeah, the whole thing is just the courtroom scene, basically.
Yes.
And then as the courtroom scene, the judge is like, "Well, what about this, this, and this?" And they show you this, this, and this.
Yes, exactly. And so, I liked it. It definitely was, but I loved it because the. Who's the guy? What's his name? Cillian Murphy?
Yes.
Cillian
Let's
Murphy.
Go with that.
Cillian.
Cillian Murphy.
Cillian.
Let's go with that.
He did so well. And like, because I mean, imagine, right? Like you create something that causes so much death. Like the weight that, and like, you know, he when he did interviews, like later in his life, like you could see it in his eyes, like the weight of what he had done was on him. And I think it really showcased that well. And the actor did awesome, like in showing that weight that he felt as like a, I mean, yeah, just as a kind of murderer. I mean, he put the weapon in the right hands, right? Like, but it was all in the name of science. And so like, there's this like pure pursuit of like knowledge and science and like the way the world works. But then it's like used in a bad, anyway, I thought it was good. I'll say that. I thought it was good. Maybe not his best. Actually, definitely not his best, in my opinion. Some people disagree with me, but I need to see it again because I missed the first 10 minutes when I went and saw it. So I feel like there was stuff that was important.
Did you show up late?
I just got there, yeah. Which is like not typical, but we went to see it in Fisher's at a really nice movie theater. And then we wanted to get popcorn and then that took forever. And so it just, yeah.
Bloomington, and I've said it before, but a million-dollar idea if anyone would like to do it. Bloomington needs a good movie theater that is not the West Side AMC, the only one in the entire thing.
Yeah. It's tough.
No competition to be good.
I never knew any better because I'd never been to any other theaters.
No, once you go to the good theater, there's no going back.
Yeah, there's really not.
It's like, oh, it's clean and good. And like, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, as clean as it can be. But
yeah. Some of them have nice. Have you been to the one in Bedford? They have like recliners down there.
Oh, do they?
Like leather recliners. It's
might
nice.
Need to go check that one out.
It's really cool. I went down there.
There's got to be a market for it. Like those costumes would,
oh
eat
my
up,
gosh.
Would eat up those overpriced totally seats with eat the overpriced up. Sodas. They'd love it. But
we need to get some investors on this idea.
Angel investors.
Where you at? You want to invest in a movie theater? That's good for Bloomington. Because the East Side one closed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's this news story where like all these sneaky kids are sneaking in. Like they did a pretty good job. They put rocks and big concrete blocks in so no one can get into the parking lot. But, you know, life finds a way.
Life finds
a
way. And
some kids apparently snuck in. I bet it's like
wait,
super
really?
Into the movie theater itself. And then like the police came. It was this whole thing. But
I did not know that. Wow.
It's probably like terrifyingly creepy in there. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Like
Five
yeah,
Nights
all the
at Freddy's.
Out.
Stuff.
Yeah, seriously.
Ugh.
Yeah.
All those empty big rooms. Ugh. All those creepy seats. Ugh.
Completely silent.
And then, yeah.
And something
it's,
like.
It's complete. No. It's completely silent. And then like. You just hear it like in the distance,
some like
stuff.
Thumping, yeah.
Like
some,
I won't do it because the downstairs neighbor, but like,
thank you for being considerate of my downstairs neighbor. We've actually gotten noise complaints here
from like you and Jack are too loud or what?
Well, okay, we have a Bible study that happens on Wednesdays.
See, I bet the noise complaints are,
and I'm throwing
valid.
Them under the bus because they are so freaking loud. They like jump and stomp and
see, you can't be doing that. It's an upstairs exactly. apartment, you got to talk in a normal volume.
Exactly.
And not drop bowling balls from okay. yeah. Like what upstairs neighbor can't do anything about or
exactly.
sorry, the downstairs neighbors can't do anything to retaliate, so except, you know, use the power of bureaucracy to kick you out and make
yeah.
you stop.
And I felt so bad too when we got the I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't like.
So you just got like a thing in the mail that said
it was an email, and then Jack called him and was like, hey, we didn't like, we're so sorry, like we just would did they give anything specifically, like was anything the matter? And yeah.
They gave the exact time and date of your Bible study.
Yeah, like they marked it down. They said it was something to do with like stomping, which makes me think that it's like the jumping and the... But also, I have realized I walk kind of heavy, you know? Like I walk on the balls of my feet. Or, no, the heels.
Right. You like just slam the heels down.
Yeah.
I do too sometimes, but it's if you have AirPods in, you don't sometimes don't realize that you're walking. You're like, oh, I'm really quiet right now. No, you're not really quiet
I'm
right
a ninja.
Like, and in reality...
Yeah,
but it's like the noise canceling's turned on, so no one can hear me, right? Yeah. That's how that works. Yeah. Totally. Also, the entire neighborhood can hear me.
Dude, I've been thinking about getting a pair of those again because I lost. So like I had a pair of the AirPod Pros.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. What are they at now? AirPod Pro 3?
AirPods Pro 2 is if you want Pro. There's also AirPods Regular version 3.
Okay. Well, anyway, I had a pair of AirPods Pro. That's the official name, right?
It is the official name.
Yeah.
Prose so, isn't a thing necessarily.
AirPod Pros.
Except like poetry and prose in the Bible, but
that's funny. Yeah. Anyway, so I had
didn't
I did,
go to you, you lost one or something.
Yeah, I lost one. I lost like the left one, I think.
You probably just go to Lost and Find a Valentine and get 700 like
honestly,
super dirty AirPods Pro
really
cases
could.
And all sorts of things. If you don't mind they're being like dropped in the toilet a couple times. Like,
well, what happened then is I lost the other one. So
oh,
I just
no.
don't even know where they are now. They're just both gone, separated from me eternally.
So you have a you have an empty case and nothing to put in.
Well,
it.
Actually I think I lost the case too. So they're all gone. I think, but I feel like I could really use another pair of those. You know? But do you remember we talked about on the other,
so
on the podcast, like it had kind of, like it was kind of a good thing because I wasn't distracted all the time by music.
You know how else you could not be distracted by music? Take out the darn AirPods.
Yeah, I
don't have to lose them. But
I know.
I'd say you just bite the bullet. You're a big boy with a job. Buy AirPods Pro Generation 2. They're basically perfect. I'm not going to lie. Qi charging in the case,
yep.
Amazing noise canceling, amazing
yep.
transparency.
Yep.
It's actually shocking how well the noise canceling works. And now the main problem with the AirPods Pro Generation 1, they never fit in my ears. I desperately wanted them to, and they didn't. And then AirPods Pro Generation 2 fixed it. They introduced extra small ear tips that hadn't been around before. And so the extra small ear tips do fit. Like
oh, wow.
The issue is that my ears are too small. And like even the small ones would just sort of fall out because they're too big.
Wow. I did not know that. I didn't know they had the extra small size.
Yeah, so it's not a perfect fit because with the original AirPods, it was impossible to get them to fall out of my ears. It is possible to get those to fall out, or if I'm like sweating too much or something.
Sure.
they're not perfect fit, but they work so well that it's kind of hard to
get the Maxes.
Oh yeah, I'm really rich.
AirPod, yeah, AirPod Maxes.
I'm very intrigued by those, but they're kind of expensive.
I am also intrigued, but not enough to spend whatever
$300 to $400 or even more.
It's insane. That's too much to spend.
Well, it's kind of wild though, because when I worked at Cook Over the summer, I got the what's it called, Sony XM4 wireless headphones that kind of everybody has. And they're not very good. Like, coming from Apple.
Really?
It's like, it mostly gets the job done, but like every step of the way, it's just like, ah, this is disgusting and gross. I don't like any of this.
Well, Apple just makes it so easy.
And then Apple just makes it so beautiful
and
lovely.
So intentional, and I hate it.
No, Apple's won me over. It's like, I know they're terrible and they're the worst company ever and they're amazing because they make the best products that money can buy that I have found. And you buy outside of Apple ecosystem, it's like, this is garbage. And
it is.
Insulting.
It feels like
it's this product is spitting in my face with every button press and everything I ever do. Yep. It's just spitting in my face and slapping me over and over. So you come back to the sweet arms of your old lover Apple.
Tim Cook. He's always there.
I recently bought a bunch of AirTags as well.
Yeah.
I got a 4-pack.
Nice.
So we've got key set 1 has AirTag. Key set 2 has AirTag. Sunglasses case has AirTag. And in-ear monitor case has AirTag.
Wow.
And I already had one, so wallet has AirTag. So will I still lose those things and like not get them back? Maybe.
Maybe.
But at least I have a fighting chance.
Yeah.
And I watched this cool YouTube video that Carter sent me where there's a guy who essentially his girlfriend left like this really nice custom made Game Boy Advance on a plane, but had an AirTag in the case. So then he flew back and like found the exact neighborhood where it ended up. And he thinks it was like someone from an employee that had been working on that flight or whatever that had taken it home. And like, you know, its question is like, oh, was that stealing or did they just not know where to return it or whatever?
Did you go find it? Like,
he went to the exact neighborhood because it showed as an AirTag, and he was like, oh, it's either in this house, or this house. So he was like knocking on doors and looking around for it. To be fair, I probably shouldn't spoil this video. Go check out the video in the show notes.
Oh man. Yeah. Okay. Now I'm intrigued. Now I want to know.
And it sort of brought up this interesting social situation because it's like, well, in the past, if someone steals something, it's like, well, the police can't really do anything. You can't really do anything. Sort of just lost forever, like Joe's AirPods.
Yep.
But what's the social dynamic or like the police dynamic or the law dynamic going to do when someone steals something and I can point to exactly where it is? You have it. I can make it beep. I'm looking at the closet where you have it. My phone knows it's 1 inch away. Like, what's the dynamic there?
Mm.
And then they're like, you can't come into my house. And I'm like,
but
you took my thing and I can prove it. And it's right there. He's like, no, it's not. It's like, I see it. You're holding it behind your back. What's that? So like, what's the social dynamic there? There's not, the law hasn't caught up to it.
Yeah.
The law doesn't know what to do with, I can prove that you have this.
Yeah.
But do you have to get back now or just don't let me into your house or don't answer the door? Like, how's that work?
I don't know.
So the law, as usual, has not caught up with the technology.
Stupid law. Get caught up. If you're listening, law.
No. So yeah, I may have talked about this. I always put my name and number on most things I care about.
Mm-hmm.
So that, because if I find something, if I found like something that was halfway nice, I would be like looking all over, like whose is this and how can I get it returned to them? Like, do they have a number? Do they have an email? Do they have at least a name? So there's a fighting chance. But
yeah.
So some good Samaritan type person can look at my number and then hopefully text me and not just steal it and keep it for themselves.
Yeah, I feel like that's a good decision. Because if I found something like really valuable, like let's say I just found a phone, you know, but it's not like a stock phone. It's like there's like pictures on the screensaver of like people. Like it's obvious that someone owns this phone.
You would factory reset it, put it in your phone, sell it on eBay.
Okay, if there wasn't like, if there's no immediate way to get it to someone that I know would get it to the person, and there's no way to contact that person, like I don't know what to do.
You can just ask Siri, "Who am I?"
Oh, does that work?
And at least you have their name. I'm not sure if you can get their number from Siri from the lock screen or not. I should try that.
Yeah, you should try that right now.
Who am I? You're Zachary, but since we're friends, I get to call you Zachary Todd. Does the emergency call screen say anything? No, it does. You can go to medical ID. Ha! Now you know everything about me.
Oh.
So if the person set up medical ID, you know.
I should probably do that.
My name. Oh, and you can call my emergency contacts from, I'm not going to do it, but
wow.
You can call the emergency contacts from medical ID without unlocking. And you can be like, hi there, person's wife that I found this John Smith's phone. So that's the proper protocol. You find a phone, ask who am I, try to get the emergency.
There you go.
Contact. And if they didn't set it up, then factory set it and sell it on eBay.
Dude, that's okay. No.
Which you can't do because you don't know the code.
But. Exactly. Well, true. Yeah. I just I saw someone's keys out in the middle of like the mall recently. And I was like, well, it was like outside the mall on one of the pillars, like near the road. And I was like, what do I do? Because like, it's not
keep
like,
on walking, Joe. Just
yeah,
keep
that's
on
exactly
walking.
What I did. Because I was like, I hope they come back and like realize that they're gone. You know what I mean? Where they left them.
Because it's like, oh, there was my parents one time were like, if you're like hiking, you get lost in the woods. Just like sit down and stay where you are, right? Because if you keep moving and we keep moving, and I'm like, good point. Mm-hmm. So it's maybe the same thing with the keys. You shouldn't move them because then the keys keep moving throughout the world. Versus then and there's no way for them to find them. Yeah. So, but for me, it's like, well, the keys have my name and number on them, mm-hmm. the fob, and then they have an air tag. And if someone still wants to steal them, you, Joe, if you want to lay down, that you can actually move the microphone stand to actually do it.
No, this is good. I'm just going to do this for a second to help my back. I've been leaning against, are we going to cut this out?
It's up to you, Joe.
I've been leaning against a wall. We're sitting on the floor because I don't have many chairs, but.
We can actually make it so we can lay down if you want.
You just do this.
Ooh. You know? Actually, hang on. Let me.
Yeah, you can make it so that you. Whoop.
I'm going to do this.
Yeah, you can make it so you can lay down the whole time and it's fine. Like, the microphone stand supports that.
Oh, whoa. Hello. Yeah, thing. You're like a. I feel so catered to. This is wonderful. Oh, man. This is the life. I get to lay
now
down.
Now we're podcasting laying down, guys. And not looking at each other.
I wish you could see us, listener.
We're so relaxed.
We're so relaxed. This is wonderful. Man.
It's like the mic stand can put the mic wherever you want. It's designed to put it.
That is what it's designed to do. That's true.
All right. So I've been listening to a lot of music lately.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And you like Morgan Wallen a lot, which is good for you. My main complaint with Morgan Wallen is that he doesn't really do bridges in his song. He just does like four bars of instrumental playing the chords from the chorus, and he never puts in an actual bridge, and that's annoying. And that's probably because the TikTok attention span of the youth can't handle a bridge.
Do you think that's actually like, I feel like
songs are getting shorter, so there's that.
That's so weird. But okay, but actually, actually, well, they used to be shorter, like in the 60s, you know, they used to be like 2 minutes, you know, like I feel like Beatles songs are like early Beatles songs, very short.
Mm-hmm.
And then like later on, they get longer and longer and longer. So maybe they're just coming back to normal, you know?
Interesting. Or maybe it's like a wave cycle. Because the older songs, maybe was that just a technical limitation where it's like we don't have that much space on our little records or whatever?
Yeah.
We can't do a 6 minute, even if we want to, we can't do a 10 minute, you know, all too well version because it's like that takes up the entire record. Sorry.
Uh-huh.
But then now we can make songs 30 hours or 1 second. So I don't know. It's a good question. I don't have much intel. I mean, there's such a thing as a song that is too long. Because it's
very
like,
true. Yeah. Well, okay, wait, hang on. I'm trying to think of like old Beatles songs I know that like, or do they have a bridge?
It feels like you're breathing really heavily.
I'm really thinking about this thing, man.
I don't know, Joe. I don't know the Beatles. I'm the wrong person to ask. All I know is that Morgan Wallen doesn't do really bridges.
He doesn't. That's true.
Well, so, yeah, I've listened to a bit of him. I listened a while on vacation to the Dangerous the Double album. Is that the right one?
Yeah,
is
that's,
that the one with, what is it called? Wasted on You.
That's the one.
It felt like kind of, there were some clunkers or whatever, but yeah, decent quality. And there's the one where he's like, you don't want to be famous like me.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
you
yeah,
just
yeah,
want to
yeah.
be a normal person.
Yep.
Because it's not all it's cracked up to be.
Whoa, poet. Wow. Look at you go.
Poet, and I didn't know it.
Look at that.
And I don't remember what that song's called, by the way.
No. I know what you're talking about, though. It has a title that you think means something different, and then but it's about that.
Not all the listeners are screaming it right now.
I don't know, but I know what you're talking about. It's like, bang, 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 light.
Dang. Sure, it's been like years since I've heard of it. Sure.
Oh, okay, well, then never mind.
Yeah, so maybe I could try his other double album that he came out with, but we'll see.
Because
I'm
pretty good.
I'm doing the album a day challenge that I'm 1 day behind, unfortunately, because sometimes I'm kind of cheating a little bit where if I don't do it, I'll just listen to two albums on a different day. But because some days you don't really have time, but I've been doing pretty well so far. So and what I've really figured out is it's not that hard if you are careful and like make sure every time you can be listening to music you are, which we've talked about. Maybe that's bad. But at least in the car, you can get through. Like, because most albums are, what, around an hour or so?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you can fit it in if you're careful.
An album a day, that's hard. Well,
it's just an hour. It's not that hard.
I guess, but
20 minutes
like,
here, 20 minutes here, 20 minutes here, and you're done.
Maybe I should do that.
Yeah. So, and then you can get through all these albums that you're like, wow, I really, because I, guess what, Joe? I should get up my official list, but I listened to Bruno Major's album.
Which one? Columbo? The fact that you don't know is disappointing.
It's the one with like the red triangle.
Oh, yeah. 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 To Let a Good Thing Die.
Yeah. That was it.
Yep.
So let me actually open up my album.
That's a great album. Well, yeah. I'd say like 6 out of the 10 songs are great.
Okay, so I started this challenge on December 13th, 2023, and listened to Let a Good Thing Die by Bruno Major. Mm. My notes are the only English singer I've heard who actually sings with a British accent.
Yeah.
And he half sings, half speaks some lines. Mm-hmm. Favorite song, Tapestry.
Really?
Controversial.
Wait,
it was
really?
Also, it was only on one listen through.
Oh, okay, okay.
So maybe there's some good ones.
Dude.
That I did not fully appreciate.
But Regent's Park will always be.
It's okay.
Oh my gosh. It's okay, bro.
I mean, it's probably one that maybe like second or third best, I'd say.
It's so good. It's set to the tune of that, of us. Do you know what? Have I talked to you about this? Have we talked about this before?
I don't. Oh, right. The 101 Dalmatians.
Yeah,
song.
Yeah, yep.
Yep. You talked about
it. Oh my gosh. So freaking good.
So it hasn't changed the fact that, because sometimes it's like, have we talked about Talk Too Much by Coyne before?
Oh, yeah. I know I talk too much. Yeah, that one.
Yep. So I listened to that whole album. It was decent-ish. Yes. The thing is, like, if I don't love it, I'm probably going to move on.
Got
and
it.
I didn't really love it. Except I did love Talk Too Much, and I did love Hannah, which is one of the other ones.
It's I don't
like
know
these songs
well.
Are amazing. But tried that one. I've been trying some new ambient albums. I tried The Brook and the Bluff, which you're going to crucify me for this.
No.
Pretty much the only songs I like from them are Shelby,
yep.
Everything is Just a Mess,
yep.
Halfway Up, mm-hmm. and Lover's Rock.
Lover's Rock? Really? You got some weird takes, man. That's
No, Lover's Rock is awesome. What are you talking about?
Well, wait. It's a...
It's like, you are the rock that I cling to.
Yeah.
It's like, this song's awesome.
It's okay. It's not the best on there.
No, it's really good. You're wrong.
What's the... Objective. You said them basically all. Pastels, that's a good one.
Pastels was weird. Didn't it like change into a different song halfway through?
Yeah, it's like two songs.
Yeah, I didn't like that. Thumbs down. Awesome. Bad job.
Ugh.
Yeah, that should split it up into two. So, and I didn't, and I liked that. I did not really fully enjoy Yard Sale.
Yeah, Yard Sale wasn't that good.
I didn't love the self-titled. I mean, it was okay-ish, but I didn't love the self-titled.
I don't know if I listened to that one, actually, to be honest with you.
And I don't have the motivation at this exact second to listen to the other one, Bluebeard.
It was pretty good. Tangerine, Bulletins from the Past, or Bulletins from My Past.
And I learned about myself a couple of things. One is that it's like there actually is a song... The album by Coyne that I tried, one of them is How Will You Know If You Never Try? And it's the same thing with that, with your albums, right? How will you know if you like this album if you never actually listen to it?
Yeah.
And you shouldn't judge the album by the cover. Mm. It's like, wow, this album looks really terrible. It's like, well, how do you know you haven't heard it?
Yeah, that's
what
true.
I always do.
Very true.
So find time to listen in the morning and all throughout. Be willing to try things, break out of your musical comfort zone. The worst that can happen is you just find a clunker. I've only found one album that I like completely disliked because it was this one song that I really liked, but... All the other songs on the album were clunkers.
Really? What album?
It was called, let's find it, Back for More by Nia Hendrix. I really liked that song. And then everything else on her album, same album, was an extreme clunker.
Dang.
Sorry, Nia Hendrix.
That's funny.
Yeah, not the best there.
Did you ever listen to John Bellion?
Besides Beautiful Now by Zedd, I have not heard John Bellion before.
Bro, he's got so much more.
He's got so much more to offer than Beautiful Now,
he
let me
really
tell you
does.
That.
He really does. I feel like you'd like it. Condition is probably
the best. Oh, he has a
best.
Bunch of stuff. But...
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to add that to the list.
And also, have you listened to Lawrence?
Oh, yeah, I bet I would like Lawrence.
Yeah, I think...
You've played a couple.
Yeah, they work with him quite a bit.
Okay, cool.
They're,
so what
they're very
album?
Funky. Probably Up, I think, is what it's called. That's a good one. Hotel TV was fine. What's it called?
The Living Room?
Yeah,
Breakfast?
The Living Room. Okay. Yep. Yep, that one.
Yeah, I bet I would like that one.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I like them.
So far, I have plenty of things saved. So good. What I sometimes do is just scroll through. I was like, no, this looks good. So then I just close my eyes and tap on one. Scroll nice. Around and tap on one.
That's awesome.
It's like, well, you got to listen to it now.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I used to listen to a lot of new, like a lot. I used to like, you know, Discover Weekly was like a ritual. Like I would just search for new music all the time. And now I don't like as much. I don't know. It's kind of weird. I I don't know. I used to love that. And I still do. Like, when I find a new song I love, like, for instance, 23 by Lawrence, phenomenal. Like, that's been in my head for, like, weeks now. Well, that's an exaggeration. Maybe a week. But it's a great song. It's a single. It's not on the album that I just told you about. But, you know, like, when I find a new song like that, I do cling to it, and I like it. Like, I love finding new songs. I don't do it as much anymore. Maybe I should do that. Maybe it's not an album a day for me. Maybe it's just I need to commit to, like, listening to my Discover Weekly, because I really do love finding new music. I just don't do it anymore.
The thing with the album, like, remember when we did Spotify Wrapped and it's like, yeah. Oh, Zachary's listening personalities. He listens to the whole album.
Yeah.
So when we did that, I realized that, yeah, I do like listening to the whole album, because I think the artist puts those songs in an order for a reason and, like, wants to tell, you know, it's not just shuffled around or whatever.
Sure, sure.
So I sometimes think that it's good to... What was that? Spooky.
He's probably getting a plate or something.
So I sometimes think the artist puts them... In fact, I know the artist puts them there in a specific order, so we got to respect the order.
Mm-hmm. I guess.
But then you just pick and choose your favorite songs and put Lover's Rock on there and call it a day.
Dude, Lover's Rock is not that good. It's fine. It's just, there's so many.
No, it's really good. Trust me. You like it. So that's the album a day challenge. Listeners, try it out if you'd like.
Did you listen to Brandon Lake's new album?
I did not listen to Code of Many Colors.
Okay, yeah, that's the one. I can't judge his heart, but I would hope that it's genuine, you know, a desire to worship and bring people to worship. But it's like, I don't, like contemporary Christian music, especially poppy, you know, stuff, I'm usually not a huge fan of, but, like, I liked the songs I heard on there. And it weirds me out because I didn't expect to, you know?
You know what? I've been not putting this one on the list, but we're going to go ahead and add Code of Many Colors by Brandon Lake.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We're going to give it a try.
Yeah. Well, let me know what you think. It's not bad. I feel like I shouldn't like it, and I do. So, riddle me that.
Why do you feel like you shouldn't like it?
Because it's like, you know, cookie cutter contemporary Christian music, you know?
Oh, I mean, I really liked one of the albums today was Cody Carnes' God is Good! Exclamation point.
Yeah, Boy, that was a good album.
There's some really solid stuff on there,
yeah,
seriously.
Yeah, Nothing But the Blood.
I had to laugh, though, because there's so many cliches when it comes to Christian music.
Mm.
Like, for example, if you look at Multitracks, which is just the website that churches can use to, like, get all the tracks to use to play along with and everything, some of the cliches are, like, the tambourine that comes in the chorus, like...
Oh, yeah. Like, totally.
And it's like a bunch of churches use that, and it's like, well, no one's playing tambourine. So, and then you've got that. You've got your percussion layers, and you go like... It's like background EDM percussion and stuff.
Yeah.
And you've got your, like, bass that's super duper overdrawn in your face. Like, dung, 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 yep. Dung, dung, dung,
and like
dung.
The super loud synth lead to start.
Like, yeah. Super loud, aggressive synth lead.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, and the drums are just like, just quarter notes on, like, the snare and bass, like, for 10 hours, like, during the buildup.
Yep.
So there's, like, a bunch of ridiculous, and it's like always 4-4-6-8.
Yep.
It's like, well, okay, guys.
We should write, oh, man, 5-4 worship songs. Yeah. Worship songs should be in more interesting key signatures. I'm a proponent of that.
Maybe. But it means designed to be singable, not like
confusing. I know.
So. But yeah, there's so many cliches. So it's like, yes, there are some worship songs that are actually awesome, but there's also a lot of cliches, and we're like, I think wondering, we need a revival of worship music, just because, like, for a while it was like, shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. And then it was like more like mid-tempo rock, and the drums used to be like super in the background. Now they're in your face.
Yeah, it's true.
And now we need to, I don't know, we just need to burn it down and start over, like, go back to the guitar.
Go back to the basics. I'm
basics.
Coming
back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. Wait, that's not the harmony at all.
I don't know.
Let's try that again, guys. All about you. There it is. It took a sec.
All about you.
It's like, all I'm sorry. Oh, my gosh. My ears. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've done.
It's really that high?
It can
all
be.
All about you. That's really high. Dang, Michael W. Smith. Wow. All about you.
That's like, yeah, that's some high stuff. Remember back when, like, Chris Tomlin came out with God's Great Dance Floor and stuff, and like I know who goes before me, I know who stands behind.
Oh my gosh,
all that stuff.
Yeah, the God of Angel Armies.
And Lay Me Down and stuff.
Dude,
that album is actually insanely good.
It's kind of a, yeah, that's kind of a banger.
Still holds up to this day.
I found, well, actually part of it had to do with the fact Sherwood did a 60th anniversary worship service. Do you remember that? And we did like this massive mashup of like, what's that one song? Oh, is your faithfulness.
Oh yeah, you
so
wrestle
God,
with the sinner's heart.
You wrestle with the sinner's restless heart. Oh my gosh, like that.
Your grace is enough. Yeah. And then it was mashed up with a bunch of other stuff as well.
Yes. I think Shout to the Lord may have been in there.
So, what are your least favorite worship songs ever?
Bro.
I'll go first. So Will I 100 billion times.
What? You don't like that song?
That's ridiculous.
Oh,
no good.
On.
Thumbs down. Ding, 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 ding. Reckless Love, thumbs down.
Wow. Wait, okay. Is this just because they were played a ton or musically you don't like them?
Both.
Wow. Wait, but what about the thing on So Will I, the drum part? Ding, ding, ding,
don't like it. Thumbs down.
I freaking love that.
I think it was fun. It was fun for a couple weeks and then it's like, no.
Dang. Next time we play together, I'm going to do that song just for you. I really do love that drum part. Oh, gosh.
I mean, maybe once in a while, but it goes on. We sing that same verse 100 billion times.
We do.
And it's like, all right,
but
give me a
break. It's different every time. The words are different. One of my least favorite is King of Kings. And not, I think the lyrics are pretty solid. Like, I think the lyrics are pretty solid. Musically, it is the most boring song that I have ever played in my life. And then Living Hope, I don't like that. Again, great lyrics.
Living Hope, which one's that one?
Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Okay.
Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Again, it's just musically uninteresting. Like it's and like that resolve, I feel like you could have done more for Welcome, you know? Like Jesus, it's like four, my five,
one.
Yeah, it's like, come on.
What would you want him to do instead? Like four minor or
like
what?
Two, yeah, four minor. You could do two minor to five, little 2-5-1 thing.
Oh, that could work, yeah.
Or like six minor five or six minor four or five. I don't know. Like, come on, you could do better. You know this. But for the sake of playability, it's fair. But I just, I don't know. There's a line, like you, I think the way I heard it best described by, shout out to Jaya Parail from Crew at IU. She's great. She's a worship leader.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I never forget, she said the first time we met to talk about like a joint worship night between Crew and CSF, she said she tries to shoot for undistracted excellence.
Yes.
Undistracted
as
excellence.
As she should.
Which I don't know if she stole that from somewhere, but.
And it's probably like Worship Matters stealing
probably,
from it or whatever.
From,
but
yeah. But I...
being excellent at what you do and not distracted.
Exactly.
Because if you're not so, excellent, you better believe you're distracted.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, it's... But there's also like, you can be excellent and very distracting. You know what I mean? Like if it's all about
playing
you,
way
like
too
overplaying.
Much, yeah.
Yeah, totally. So like, there's this really beautiful middle ground, I feel like, where... And it's... I mean, humans are broken and imperfect and we struggle to not make it about ourselves anyway, but like... being good at your instrument or whatever you're doing, but then not being like always trying to point to
using 1% of what you're truly capable of.
Yeah. Like don't overdo it, but don't underdo it. You know, like make it good and not distracting. This has been Worship Corner.
I'm not tired of Firm Foundation yet, but we're probably going to get there.
We're getting
close.
We're
getting close to where it's going to be like, all right, Oceans, I see you.
Yeah.
You're going to go in the bucket with
I
Oceans.
Do,
never
I do
to be
love
seen
that
again.
Song though.
Eventually, we're going to be like hating it, but it's fine now. For now,
yeah.
We're good.
I remember when I first heard that song. Well, actually, I don't know if I remember when I first heard it.
I don't think I do, but.
But I remember being like, oh, we got to do this at Encounter. We got to do this at Encounter. It would slap at Encounter. And I feel like it did. Remember we used to do Champion all the time?
Yeah, I was actually going to bring that up literally after
this
conversation.
Wow.
So when Joe's in charge and Zachary's there, or whatever.
As long as.
We've got Jesus, You Alone.
Yes, champion.
And they
can flow right into each other. Six,
well,
eight.
All 6-8 can flow together.
Yeah.
That, we got the mega mashup at 6-8.
Whoa, bro.
I don't think they're ready for that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so either. But
they can't, only at Campfire exclusive. Like, mm-hmm. They can't comprehend, the congregation cannot comprehend our true power with the 6-8 mashup.
Yeah, yeah. I just love, like, that, like, champion, like, that verse Well, wait, how does the verse go?
Like, no one knows.
Because I know the chorus, like, you are my champion. Giants falling and undefeated. Every battle you've won. I just keep wanting to sing, all my words fall short.
I tried so hard to see it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Took me so long to believe it. It's kind of high for me, but that's what it is.
Like me. Because, like, I feel like, you know, in Colossians when it talks about, like, it basically mirrors Ephesians where he talks about being made alive. But, like, then he says, like, Jesus, like, what does he say? It's basically, like, he defeated and made a mockery out of death. Oh, for sure,
yeah.
Yeah. And, like, that imagery of, like, not just, you know, he left grave in its tomb. Like, he, like, humiliated death. You know, like, he, like, paraded around and, like, was like, I beat this thing. And, like, but it wasn't prideful. It's just, like, a fact, you know? I, like, Ben Stewart has talked before about how, like, in ancient cultures, like, when a victoring king would come home, he would bring, like, prisoners from the enemy. And, like, they would take the king of that enemy and, like, strip him of all of his armor and sometimes his clothes, which is a bit weird. But, like, and the point was, like, hey, this person that, like, scared you has no power anymore. And you don't need to be scared by him anymore. Like, they paraded this enemy around. Like, anyway, I'm getting really theological. But just that idea of, like, God is our champion. Like, he beat death and he, like, is totally powerful and in control over it. Anyway, I just always loved that, which is why I love that.
That's why we got to bring it back.
We should bring it back. But then I subbed out the bridge for the bridge from Scandal of Grace because I like that bridge better.
How's that one go again?
And it's all because of you, Jesus.
Yeah, that no one would even notice. It'd be
good. I don't think they did, to be honest with you.
That sounds good.
Scandal of Grace is old enough, and I think Champion was, like, not known well enough to, like...
Okay, so help me out, Joe. What's in the 6-8 mashup? I'll tell you what I got in there so far.
Oh, my gosh. The mega 6-8 mashup. Should we explain what 6-8 is, just in case people don't know? Okay. Zachary gave me the thumbs up. Essentially, 6-8 is... it's a different way of counting time in music to where it's, like, 4-4 is, like, the classic, like, 1-2-3-4-1. And you could probably give more... you know, stuff here. But, like, this is, like, Christ magnified. Oh, Christ be magnified. You know, every, like, a ton of stuff's in that. But 6-8 is, like, a more, in my opinion, the way I look at it, it's, like, more swingy version of a waltz, like 3-4. Whereas, like, 3-4 is, like, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1, you know. 6-8 is, like, 1-2-3, 4-5-6.
Yeah, you kind of tend to put emphasis on 1 and 4 there. So it's kind of taking aspects of 3-4 and... Four, four to something.
Exactly, extent. Which is beautiful. It's lovely.
Almost every worship beat, the snare will be emphasized on 4, generally speaking.
And so we can, so like, yeah, like I, 6-8 songs that immediately come to my mind are like, O Come to the Altar, Graves into Gardens, you know, what's Brandon Lake, All I Have is a Hallelujah.
Gratitude. So here's what's on the 6-8 mashup on my notes. Graves into Gardens, Firm Foundation, Gratitude, Gold.
Gold? You question hate
mark.
Gold.
I don't like it, but it's on there with the question mark. Jesus, You Alone, Champion, Scandal of Grace, O Come to the Altar.
Yeah.
What am I missing?
Oh, Great Are You, Lord.
Oh, duh. Yeah. O Come to the Altar and Great Are You, Lord, in my head are kind of the same song.
I agree. I totally
like,
agree.
Just about.
Yep.
I know they're different artists and whatever, but, you know, they're kind of the same
song. I think
song.
Those are the...
sister songs.
Maybe Never Lost. Never Lost.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Anything, I mean...
I mean, that's a pretty good little list right there.
It really is. And they all really flow well.
That's a 10-song mashup, and there's probably in a few we aren't thinking of.
Wow.
Which that'll keep us busy at the campfire for a while.
Dude, and Joe never has to switch chords. When you and I get on the 6-8 train, it is hard to get us off.
So, I mean, what's in the 4-4 mashup is Canvas and Clay, King of My Heart, That's the Power of Your Name, Just a Mention Makes the Way.
Wow.
And I Speak Jesus, and I can't think of anything else right now.
Hang on. 4-4 is like more broad, I feel like. There's way more, I think, that fits in the 4-4.
Maybe.
But That's the Power. I haven't played that song in forever. I love the doxology. I think you could slap that onto anything and it would be great. You know, praise God from whom all blessings flow.
What time signature is that?
It can be anything.
And no matter, it's anything.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Or Praise him, all creatures.
How long you pause controls the time thing.
Maybe that could bridge them.
Oh, of course. We could go the 6-8. Well, the 6-8 is cooler. So we'll do the ultimate 4-4 mashup, then doxology in like free flowing time sync. Yeah. And then right into the 6-8. Yeah. It's going to be good. How are we going to get copyright? It's fine. We don't need copyright.
We should just do a concert, you know, on the square or something. Like just set up. You can bring a cajon. I'll bring the guitar. Your dad can bring a
accordion.
Oh my gosh. A saxophone. Have dad Josh hanging out there.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah, it's going to be good. I look forward to it.
Yeah. I feel like we could talk about worship for forever. We could talk about it for so long.
I realized recently I've been doing it for, what, 10 years? Yeah. Which is not hold a candle to like some of the Bemises or whatever. We've been doing it for like 20 years.
Yeah. I think 2016 was when I started. So this fall will be 8 years.
Yes, that checks out. Because I started doing things when I was a freshman in high school. I started doing things regularly. And who knows what year that was. That was 2016 as well, technically.
So did we start at the same time?
Wait, that can't be right because we're not the same year.
Well, no, I started my sophomore year. I didn't start freshman year.
Oh, then yes, both of us were 2016.
Because I just didn't feel confident enough.
So I think I did a couple more things before that. So sort of 9 years, but realistically, I've been doing it extremely regularly for 8 years. You learn how to play with people, and eventually you get to the point where a bunch of people get together who've been doing it forever.
Yeah.
And it's like we just read each other's minds and just do it, and it's not even, you don't even blink.
Oh, great things. You could add that.
Oh, 4-4, yes. 4-4 mashup.
Yeah.
It could work.
You type so fast. It's crazy.
I love this keyboard. It's so easy to be accurate. Isn't on this keyboard. Wonderful? The weird other pizza box keyboard was terrible, but it's like hard to mess up on this keyboard.
Yeah. It's Apple, man. Do you have a separate mouse that you use? This is a...
I sure do. I have the...
Is it Bluetooth or did you plug it in?
I just use a Bluetooth mouse.
So do you just turn it on and it connects? Or do you have to like...
No, I just turn it on and it connects, yeah.
I feel like I should do that when I edit things, you know. But this trackpad is so awesome.
It is pretty good.
Like I have never, like I used to. I realized this. I used to bring a mouse everywhere I went, and then when I got a Mac, I was like, I don't actually need one. Like this is totally fine. Like I edit videos on it. I design on it. I do other stuff on it. I don't know. What else do you use a trackpad for? Everything
scrolling around, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
I have the MX Master 3S wireless mouse. It's amazing. It was super heavy and big, and it took a while to get used to, but now it's the only mouse I can use without being upset.
Wow,
it's excellent. You go to other mouse, it's like, oh, this is garbage. So it ruins you forever. But the reason it's called 3S because there was another one just called MX Master 3.
Got it.
The 3S means it's a silent click.
Got
so
it.
Fairly silent, and you'd think that wouldn't be satisfying to click, but it still is. Not sponsored. Because I could be clicking it on a podcast and you couldn't really tell.
Huh.
So would recommend. Good job. It does take getting used to. And I was like, this might be terrible, but I got used to it.
I'm thinking about getting an iPad again too.
Not this thing again, Joe. Dude. Oh, I returned my iPad.
Okay, but here's the deal. Here's the deal. Well, what's the deal? I think...
Now you have a stable job just by your iPad.
Exactly.
They're so expensive though. It's like $1,000 for an iPad.
I sold mine to my brother.
Economy.
And I'm thinking I could buy it back if he still has it.
Oh, no. I think the saga comes full circle.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Just go back and
because it was a nice iPad. It's like, I guess it's a year old now or like a little
if it was an M1, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be nice. Go for it.
It could be really nice. I need to text him. And then with my AirPods and my iPad and my Mac and my iPhone, Apple's got a strong hold on me. I got a watch for Christmas. Did I tell you that?
Oh, the SE, yeah.
Yeah, the SE. Yeah. It's fine. It inspires me to be more active, which I think was the goal. So
how many steps, Joe?
How many steps today? Let's see. We should like share.
Oh yeah, let's be friends.
Yeah, let's be friends. Let's do that. I have 4,200 steps today. How many do you have?
More than that.
Really? I don't walk a lot.
11,067.
Dang, bro. That's a lot.
Where's
my phone? Let me just
We're gonna open the fitness app. We're going to scroll to sharing on the fitness app. Then we're going to add.
Somebody added me. Zachary Todd added me.
Yep. So once you add me.
Oh, dang. Yeah, you're doing great today. Oh, my gosh. You burned 825 calories today?
Yeah, sure did.
Bro.
This is the HIIT workout. It'll do it to you.
That's
just gasping.
Wait, did you work out today?
Yeah. Just gasping for air the whole time.
I was going to. 30 minutes. I think I might go down to the workout room and cycle after this. Yeah.
At 9:14.
Well, that means no one's there.
Oh, you should show me in there. You should use your card and I can like see all your equipment.
I should.
Because did you figure out if it was like the off-brand Peloton?
Yeah, I don't know if it's an off-brand or the real thing. There's no screen on it. I don't know if that.
It's off-brand.
Okay, yeah.
So they surgically removed the screen. They in theory did not.
They make it, it makes it cheaper, I guess. But
good, Joe. You're getting into fitness. It's good.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's not as consistent as it should be, but you know, I try. And the watch, I think the watch helps because it makes me feel guilty about not doing things. And it does, like, I'm excited to go, like, this summer, like, go on bike rides with it, like, because it'll actually track, like, my distance, you know, and because I think that'll really, like, I really, like, cycling was something I started doing again in, like, August. Yeah, like, September-ish in the evenings, and it was wonderful. It's just such a nice reprieve, like where I can get out by myself and go do something and be productive. And yeah, cycling's cool, man. Cycling's cool. Feel the wind on your face. No shin splints like running, you know?
That's true. I sometimes think running isn't that good for you, but
it's if you do it wrong, you can really mess yourself up.
I've done it wrong and messed myself up, and yeah. Now I don't want to even try to do it right. It sucks. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
One thing I've been trying recently has been a practice, and you encouraged me to do this on the show a while back. But a practice of not only journaling, which of course for me happens on the computer, but journaling and then keeping those old entries instead of just deleting them.
Yeah.
Which I did. And so I kept all of 2023's journal entries. And then I reread them on, I think it was December 31st, maybe January 1. Anyway, I reread them and I just made a journal entry based on what I'd learned from that journal entry.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I was so stupid that I don't know why I kept this, but it was good because it's like, wow, that thing that you were, that class you were worried about, that person you were worried about, that situation, huh? Who, what?
It barely
registers. It's not even like a thing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I would recommend keeping them. It's cringy. It's like, wow, this guy's stupid,
good.
But it's a good type. It's the good type of cringy.
Yeah. Do you journal every day or just like when stuff happens?
When stuff happens. In a perfect world, it'd be every day, but I wouldn't have much to say every day.
Yeah, that's what I've learned is like, especially after I've graduated, there's not as much to say, so I don't journal as much, but which feels weird, but it's probably good. Looking through old journals is like honestly, it's like gold to me. I like to know, not because I forget things, you know, so easily, and so it's like to know like not just what was happening, but what I felt about what was happening is like pretty priceless, you know? So I don't know. It's kind of a gift from me to me, if I'm honest. But yeah, journaling is cool, man. I'm glad you've been doing that. And someday you're going to look at the journal entry you wrote about your journal entries and write a journal entry about that.
Oh no, it's journal entries all the way down.
Inception, man.
It's like Christopher Nolan's, terribleness all over again.
We can't get rid of him.
Let's see. And cause I made different sections. I made a section about goodbye to 2023, where I just wrote about saying goodbye to 2023, as you might expect.
Yeah.
Wrote about journaling highlights of 2023, like the themes that just came up constantly. Then I did notable journal quotes, and then I wrote about what I didn't journal about, but things that happened anyway during the year that I wanted to reflect on. Mm. It was just actually, it was good. It was like free therapy right there.
Yeah.
It really was.
Totally. I feel the same. Did we talk about yearly themes this year? Yeah.
I don't think so.
Are you doing a yearly theme?
No.
Wow.
Are you?
That's surprising. I want to, but I haven't really decided on a word.
Well, I thought about doing one, but then it never got finalized. So in an uncharacteristic mood, an uncharacteristic way. I mean, it is just continuing on the good habits I already know what to do.
Yeah.
Like exercising every day, listening to an album a day, blah, blah, blah. It's just continuing to be consistent.
Hmm.
Year of consistency, I don't know.
Hmm.
It's not this. Because the problem, because I just always want to improve myself and I never just like relax. I haven't relaxed in like 25 years.
The year of relaxing.
Even though I'm only 22. But yeah, because I actually got a gift card to get a massage and got one today for the first time ever.
Wow.
Look at me, I'm all fancy. But then that's awesome. And she's like, yeah, you're really tense. It's like, yeah, I better believe I'm really tense. So much in the world needs fixing and doing and all this.
Oh, come on. You won. Relax a little bit.
So it's like,
not everything can be reformed all the time.
Make peace with the fact that things aren't that best all the time.
Yep. And it's okay. Life goes on.
But it could be so much better. It bothers me. It could be so much better.
I know. I feel the same a lot, but not quite as much. I'm a 9. I'm cool with stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, just try keeping those journal entries around digitally. No one can get to them unless they figure out your password, in which case you're in trouble. But no one can get to them. And just, I mean, try to keep them. See what happens. Because I just looked back and so much waste, so much worry, so much everything. And that didn't matter. It didn't matter at all. The situations worked themselves out. It all ended up well. Mm. God worked through the process. Why did I spend so many nights worrying about things? I know not.
Did you ever try Future Me?
Oh, yeah, I tried that. Okay. I always felt weird about that. Like, I'm entrusting this service on sketchy online service with, like, intimate detail. Because, like, same thing with for letters that you send in for a future. Because I know I have two letters that I sent myself in the past that are waiting to catch up in the time loop. Yeah. One of them is through LAMP for IU. I won't get it now because I graduated early. I'll get it later. And then one through church that we just did. And I never write anything in there, like, too crazy because I'm like, someone probably could read this. So I'm not going to write. I was like, or I kind of write in code to where I, like, you know that one thing? Yeah. And so I'll do that. But I always get them and I'm like, this is not interesting or helpful.
Really?
I don't care. I sort of sandbag a little when it's time to write them. Mm. But for journaling, you're so honest that it almost hurts. It's like you flinch away from the words you're writing.
Yeah.
And then you go back and then the words had lost all their power because you don't care about that situation anymore.
Yeah.
You thought you were being all brave by writing this down and then you come back. It's like, this is the stupidest crap I've ever seen.
Yeah. Why was I worried about this? Which it's really, I mean, I feel like it could almost be like a spiritual discipline. Maybe I'm stretching it a little bit, but
no, it could be.
It helps you grow and like learn about yourself and like what God's doing and like to trust him more. And it's just good. Like self-knowledge is like so scarce. it's so easy to overlook the worst things about yourself.
Oh yes. So true.
Gosh. But it sucks to hear them too from other people, but like, that's a grace, you know, like somebody to love you that much, to tell you the things that nobody else wants to.
Cause it's like, have you ever just like seen a recording of you? It's like, oh man,
gosh, yeah.
Let's ignore that.
Yeah.
If I record myself playing drums and play it back, it's like, oh,
not nearly as good as I thought it sounded.
I mean, it sounds all right and gets it done, but it's like, oh, that wasn't what I thought it was.
Yeah, for sure.
Doesn't lie. And the journal doesn't lie either.
The journal doesn't lie. Unless you lied, and then the journal would lie. But
you're not going to do that.
No, you wouldn't do that.
No, we have a way of thinking that we're great and amazing. Yep. And then we look at the recording or some honest type of feedback, and then we realize we're not good or amazing.
Yep.
Like, I'm totally pulling this thing. No, you're not pulling that thing.
No, you're not. Oh, man.
So, yeah.
Time.
That's the problem right there. I'm sorry, listeners, but
you're only around for a few years and then you're dead.
I mean, can you really name, let's be honest here, can you really name the names of your, like your dad's dad's dad?
I don't know.
Can you really name that? No, you can't.
Someday everybody's going to forget about you.
You probably can name your dad's dad dad, which is your great grandpa, but I'm almost certain you cannot name your dad's dad's dad dad, which is your great great grandfather and great great grandmother. No one remembers
that. My dad's
that.
Name is Kurt. His dad's name is Jimmy. His dad's name was Dale. That's where I get my middle name from.
But I'm saying after that. No one can remember what happened before that.
I hate that, but I can't.
So once a couple of generations happened, who is Dale's dad?
Who's Dale's dad?
No one knows. And because after a couple of generations, it's like, well,
find a way to be existential.
Here's the thing. Unless you're like Albert Einstein or whatever his face was, Oppenheimer.
Somebody's forgetting about him.
Yeah, we're already forgetting. But unless you're like Jesus of Nazareth.
Yeah.
It's like everyone forgot about you, sorry. And you didn't matter. And people, it's always so interesting because when historians talk about things, they never talk about individual people because the individual people don't matter. They're like, these hunter-gatherer societies were seen gathering berries from 2 AD to 5 AD. It's like, good for that, those hunter-gatherer societies. But we don't know, like, Glorg, the important caveman. Yeah. We don't know, like, Glorg was married to Morg and they had Borg, their baby, and like, there's this whole thing. And we just don't know because we talk about what the society did as a whole and like, we saw that they owned slaves and they built this Colosseum and they did, but we don't know a single darn thing about even, and like, here's like Marcus who wrote like a couple of things on a piece of paper, but we don't know anything about Marcus.
Nope.
And he didn't matter. And he died. So
death comes for us all, man.
So it doesn't really matter what we do. I don't think it does. Don't get me wrong. It does.
I know.
But at the same time, it kind of does.
In view of eternity.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter that much.
No, it's all
which
good.
Which really should be more of a comfort than a...
But what do you think the point of life is, though? Why couldn't God just accept us into eternity right away?
Oh, gosh.
And if you thought that was a hard question, I've got a couple more in the bank that are a lot harder.
I mean, okay.
Unless this whole experience is designed to teach us something somehow, which I think could be as possible or probable.
So...
But I don't know for sure. Because no one does.
I think... Well, okay. Now, don't... future me slash people that know more than me, don't hold this against me.
The following is thing is just two college-ish age kids that don't know anything from anything. This is for educational
purposes. We're still trying. Okay, we're still trying to understand. This is my opinion on the matter as of, well, January 15th, okay, 2024.
9:26 p.m.
Yes, yes, yes.
In 34 seconds.
I think we were created out of love because... And not because God needed us, but because he wanted to make us. So he did. But we were made with an intentional purpose to partner with God and to like live with him, to work, like to live in harmony and like righteous relationship with him. And obviously that got messed up. So I think it's, I mean, I don't know why he would, I mean, he could do anything. So yeah, he could just like take you right from your mom's womb and be like, you're good, you know?
No, I'm saying, why didn't he just make it so that there wasn't this intermediary step of living on earth and just everyone didn't go straight to eternal life? I don't know. Listeners can choose. I don't know either, and I don't have a super good theory, except the best theory I have is there's some sort of way that this either makes us understand the importance of eternal life or there's something that we need to learn from this, but we've yet to figure out what that is probably.
I mean... You do ask good questions. Most of the time, it's just like, I don't know, God just decided that, I guess. But
great answer.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I think we're designed. I think, what's that quote from the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And so like, but I understand your point. Like, why couldn't we just skip that and go straight to heaven?
Yeah, what's the point with that?
I understand. Yeah.
What's going on there? So much stuff with God. I'm like, what's going on there?
You should read... I think there's a book. I haven't read it, but I have heard it's good. Making Sense of God by Tim Keller. I don't know.
Does he make sense of God?
I would hope so.
He better.
It'd be a false advertising.
False. He wrote a check his ego couldn't cash. Yeah. But hopefully he makes sense of God. Yeah, I have... beyond questions and no one knows and everyone disagrees and I don't know what to do anymore.
Everyone does disagree on lots.
No one knows and everyone disagrees. It's like, oh, all the Christians, they agree on stuff, right? No, they don't agree on stuff.
It's funny how you lump everybody together like that when you're like on the outside, you know?
No, absolutely. You've got the most, you know, literal Adam and Eve, you know, 7 days. You've got those people. Then you've got like, the Bible is an interesting historical text that teaches an interesting lesson. Uh-huh. You've got everything in between.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, but that's a good resource. I do need to look more into that because I just have so many questions right now.
For sure.
So many.
And I don't think you'll ever not have any questions. Like, I think you ask good questions, and that's a good thing.
But then those questions never get answered, so what's the point there?
But I think asking them is a good thing because it shows that you care enough to know more. You know what I mean?
But I don't think I can learn more. I just hit this brick wall where it's like, sorry, where were you when I made the earth? Kind of, that's the brick wall.
And that's exactly, yeah.
And that is not happy. Does not make me happy.
I get it. Maybe God isn't going to answer you the way you would like him to.
It's okay. Just by not providing an answer though.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not an answer. That's just like, no answer is the answer.
I mean, yeah. And it's like, are we okay with that? I don't know. Who All right. knows?
All right. Thanks, listeners.
Yeah. This
has been a good evening.
It has been a good evening.
We covered a lot of good ground here. We really did.
We did. Anything else you want to talk about? I can't remember.
Nope.
I think.
All right.
Bazinga.
Talk to you next time. Not promising a week.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you the next time we talk to you.
I can't believe I just said bazinga. That was meant to like end the show. Like, ironically.
How is Bazinga ending the show?
It's just ironically? It's like a stupid thing to say. Just like, if I don't know how to end it, just be like, Bazinga.